Thank you. Can I stick that there? I promise not to knock it over. So, we're going to look briefly at our text this evening from Chronicles that Pat has just read. Then we're going to reflect on the year that has just gone by before we look forward together to where we believe the Lord is calling us as a church. So let's look briefly at the text first. How does the notion that you own absolutely nothing strike you? Nothing that you possess actually belongs to you. It's not yours. I'll be completely honest, my very human gut reaction is that it feels like a bit of a kick in the teeth. I work really hard. I realized this morning when I preached this sermon, I said that about 5 times and then felt really guilty afterwards. So I'm making my apology now. I work really hard and I enjoy the nice things that I have. The new clothes, the shoes, perfume, really strong coffee, licorice, hugs from my kids, the huge privilege of standing here and speaking to you this evening. But the reality is, I don't have these things, any of them, because I deserve them. Every single one of the things on that list and beyond is a gift from God, because it all belongs to Him. The Message translation of the reading that you've just heard, a small excerpt of it, goes like this. Everything comes from you. All we're doing is giving back to you what is yours already. It was yours in the first place. I know, God, you care nothing for the surface. You want us, our true selves. And so I have given from my heart, honestly and happily. So as Pat said, this is King David speaking, and he is acknowledging his feelings of unworthiness in the face of the extraordinary success that has been achieved in his reign. And he is demonstrating to us exactly the right perspective on wealth, because he is driven to his knees in humility before his God, not full of self-congratulations. The reading goes on, and we hear him refer to himself and his people as foreigners and strangers. It is so important to remember that Chronicles was written for the Jews, and it is the king of the chosen people who is speaking here, and yet he is referring to himself and his brothers and sisters as foreigners and strangers in the land, because he wants to drive home the point: there is one true king. They worship the one true king, and he is totally devoted to him in worship and acknowledges that all of his achievements belong to the Lord. Everything belongs to him. And in response to the grace he has encountered in God, he gives honestly and happily and from the heart. In more traditional churches, when an offering comes up, you will hear the words, "All things come from you, and of your own do we give you." And like so much liturgy, there is a danger when you say it too much, it loses its meaning. But if you think about those words, "All things come from you, and of your own do we give you." And those words are lifted from another passage in Chronicles, this passage. We're not really giving to God, because actually it's his anyway. It's all his anyway. And God has given us much in the last year. We're going to take a moment now to just reflect briefly on the year that has gone before we look forward together to what may be to come. And I don't know about you, but I sat down to write this and I look back on the year that has just gone. And honestly, I feel like we're running to keep up with the Lord. I feel like we're just catching his heels. He is moving so powerfully among us. In the last year, we've been joined by 32 new adults and 21 children. That's 53 people, and some of whom are here tonight. It's lovely to see you. Thank you for coming. Comparatively, week by week, year by year, we've grown an average of 33% compared to last year. We've employed a new minister at All Saints to have a special care for that faithful congregation who have long deserved it. We've launched this service, our new evening service. We have a new logo, a new vision statement. At our carol service this year, we had 62 people more than last year, many of whom were guests and potentially outside the church completely. We have two candidates in training for ordination. We have one reader in training for reader training. We have four new lay leaders of worship. We've launched Community Cafe. We're on the brink of launching Sweaty Church. And we've run three alpha courses. I could go on and on and on. Everything we have done has been underpinned by prayer. Prayer has been at the root and foundation of everything that we have done. I want to share very briefly two stories that have come out of that incredible list of things tonight. And forgive me if I don't mention the ministry that you're involved in. It's not because I don't value it. There's just so much to share. The first one comes from our community cafe, which was launched last October. And it came about after a sermon I preached the previous spring, where I shared some really shocking statistics about the poverty that is in our parish. In our patch here, if memory serves, something like 52% of five-year-olds developing to the level they should be, half, one in four children locked in a cycle of poverty. And this is on our doorstep. I'm so not okay with that. We're not okay with that as a church. And a number of people who were there that morning were stirred by the Spirit of God. And they responded to His grace, and Community Cafe was born. Our first launch morning in October, on a Saturday morning, we opened the doors. We had free everything, free Best Before Cafe, beautiful baby clothes, items, toys for people to just come and take as they needed or to save going into landfill. And a lady walked in through the door, and it was immediately clear to me and a number of people that she had just had a really tough life. You know, when someone just looks a lot older than it transpires they actually are. It's written on their face. Life has not been kind to them. And she began by just sitting at the cafe and eating and eating and eating and going back and eating and constantly checking, is this okay? Is it all right if I just, yes, take and eat? And through chatting with our volunteers, it came out that she was expecting her first child and homeless. So she was sofa surfing around her friends' houses, pregnant and homeless. She stayed with us the whole morning, and when she left, my heart was so full. She had eaten her fill. She had huge bagfuls of beautiful baby items, a gorgeous M&S cot bed that she would put in her friend's living room until she gets her own place. And in a really small way, we were the light and love of Jesus to her that day, in just a really small way. Now, we're just scratching the surface, but that filled my heart and nourished me for weeks. I was so moved by the privilege of it. I would love to do more community cafes. I would love it if we could do it every Saturday, have those doors wide open and this place full of light and live music, welcoming people in to encounter God. But currently, our resources are maxed out. They're actually, most of the people involved in that ministry are slightly beyond maxed out, if we're being honest. In order to do more of this, we need more resources. We need more people involved, we need more pounds, and we need more prayer. And I'm going to speak to those three things shortly. The second story I want to share with you comes from our Open Church project. This extraordinary building that I fell in love with the first time I walked through the doors was built to the glory of God, and there is something about its height and beauty that testifies to Him. And yet the fact remains that those doors are locked and bolted through the majority of the week. It is not serving the community as it was built to do so yet. And I go around that roundabout twice a day on the school run with my kids, and the message it sends, it drives me crazy every time, when those doors are shut and bolted, is that we are a cozy club opening only for the exclusivity of our members. And there is something so wrong about that. There is something so wrong about that. And even worse, the message it sends to the community is that this is an empty castle to a long-forgotten king. An empty castle to a long-forgotten king. And yet, when you come to a community cafe, or indeed this evening, the doors are open, the lights are on, the music is live, there's a welcome, there's a drink, there's something to eat. It communicates in some really small way that Jesus is alive. He is alive, and he is in the business of loving and serving his people and changing lives today. I want to tell you about Darren. Let's go back a step. It was Christmas Journey, so it was the middle of the week, and for that reason, the doors were open, and one of our volunteers came to me and said, there's a guy outside I don't know, and he wants to speak to you. Well, fine, okay, so I go outside, and there's this lovely guy who was just thoroughly bemused to find himself there. He was, in every respect, an entirely normal bloke, and I say that because in my line of work, that is definitely not a given. And it is a great privilege to serve and love people on the fringes of society. That's exactly what Jesus did. But he wasn't one of those people. He was just a normal bloke. Darren and I chatted a bit, and it came about that he's a policeman. He's married. He's got 3 kids. His middle child has severe disabilities. He's in his kind of mid-30s, and he's lived on the Lordship estate his entire life. His entire life. And he has never set foot across that threshold. Not once in 30-something years. And yet for the previous couple of weeks, he'd been feeling this, what he described as a bizarre, almost magnetic pull to walk in through these doors. And he kept sort of saying, I don't know what it is, but I just felt like I got to be in here. And I picture myself speaking to a woman vicar, and here you are, and it's really weird. I couldn't help but laugh. So we arranged to go for a coffee a week later and to chat a bit more, and I listened to him and heard his story, and he listened to me, and I told him a bit more about the sort of things that we do here. The very long story short version is that he signed up to do Alpha next term. His daughter Beth, we're hoping, is going to come and join the youth group, and Darren, because he's just this kind of solid gold guy, is rowing the Atlantic for charity next summer, and he wants to give a portion of that money to the life and work of this church, even though he actually hasn't yet stepped in the doors. We talked outside. God is calling his people, but our doors have got to be open to receive them. And that, of course, is a metaphor for our hearts to be open to receive them. We've got to be ready to receive them. We've got to get out of God's way so that he can grow his church. That's just 2 tiny stories out of a year of phenomenal things that the Lord has been doing. So let's look forward together. Where is God calling us? We've discerned as a church and as a PCC that we believe we are called to show the light and love of Jesus for all. That is our heartbeat. We want to show the light and love of Jesus for all. But within that, there is an individual and specific call on each and every one of our lives. We are all made uniquely and brilliantly with different giftings and different weaknesses, and the Lord wants to use it all. He wants to use it all for his glory. He has a calling for you. And I firmly believe that what we do here, what he does through us here, has the power to change lives, has the power to change and shape lives, has the power to save lives. But in order to do more of this stuff, we need more people involved, we need more pounds, and we need more prayer so that we can reach more people for the sake of Jesus. And we have to use our resources wisely. So our current church infrastructure looks a bit like this. There's going to be a slide coming up now. Thank you, my love. And I didn't put the sad face on, by the way. Emma put the sad face on. I'm actually very happy. But our current church infrastructure, everyone's working really, really, really hard. But because we used to have a church where it was possible to have lots of people in dog collars doing the stuff, the church grew in that time, and that was great. But we've grown a bit more, and that isn't possible anymore. So we need to empower and raise up lay leadership. I am really passionate about ministry of all believers, Jesus wants to minister through each and every one of us. And so it needs to look a bit more like this, the next one. Again, I didn't put the halo on my head. That was Emma's addition. We need to raise up people to take on more responsibility so that I'm not sort of checking and micromanaging, so that people can just run with their ministry and own it. We were born to love God and to enjoy Him forever. And a huge part of that enjoyment is getting stuck into His ministry. Each one of those faces on the top row represents one of the main domains of the life of our church. And I'm asking you tonight to search your hearts if the Lord is stirring you to step up to one of those plates. We'll do the response in a moment. Getting stuck into the mission of God, campaigning to save, heal, and restore mankind through the power of His Spirit has to be one of the most exciting things we can ever do. It mystifies me that people perceive Christianity to be boring. This is the ride of our lives. There is nothing better. So what's your part in it? Can you be part of the people giving the pounds and giving the prayer? We'll look at people first. We have so many teams at this church, and actually we need some more. They're working away behind the scenes. We need a pack down team. After our big events, everyone kind of goes home and we've still got things everywhere. We need a team that can just come in and whirl around and pack things down. We need more people on our refreshment team. If you know you're good at just sitting with someone who is in the midst of suffering and just listening or praying for them, we need you. If you can cook a meal for someone who's just had an operation or a baby, we need you to do that. We need more people moving chairs. We need more people helping with worship on the AV desk. I could go on and on and on. Please join one of our teams. The more people we have stuck in, giving a couple of hours, a month or a week, the lighter the load for everyone. Secondly, the pounds. We do this once a year. And we do it with two caveats. God wants your heart first. He is after your heart. That is what matters to Him. The money comes after that. Financial giving is a response to the grace you have encountered in Christ first. That bit comes first. This is not obligatory. It is a response to grace. And secondly, if you are not in a position to give financially, don't. Please don't. If you are currently giving, and actually you shouldn't be, please stop. Get your house in order first. Pay off your store cards, your credit cards, the really high interest things that suck the life out of you, the Wonga loans and the payday loans. Get rid of all that first. God knows your heart is right. Get rid of the life-draining debt first. If you really struggle with that, contact Christians Against Poverty. The information is in the giving pack. Come and chat to me if you need it and you can't find it easily. Fantastic organization can help you dig out of that financial hole. If, however, you're like Finn and I, and you are able to meet your bills every month, and there's a bit left over for a few treats, the ability to save for a holiday, please give. Please give. If you are currently giving and you know that in your heart of hearts, actually you could stretch that by a few quid more or even more per month, please consider increasing your current giving. Because the reality is that our Open Church project costs money. In order to do it, we need to install CCTV to protect the equipment that we have in here and to protect the people who work in here during the day. Heating and lighting this vast and beautiful building costs money. None of it is cheap, but it allowed a man in his 30s who has lived in this parish his whole life and never set foot in this building to come in and to encounter Jesus in some small way. Alpha. Phenomenal ministry. We want to model family. We want to model, but that means feeding people. We've got to eat together. That's what family does, but that costs money because we don't want to ask people for money. We want to offer them that hospitality freely. Messy church. I want my kids to grow up knowing Bible stories. I want them to grow up knowing that they are part of the people of God, knowing their spiritual history, their lineage. But that is only going to work if we can provide them with craft materials Because that's what will hold their interest. That will is what will communicate the love of God to them. But that costs money. Opening up to worship today will cost us money. If you are able to give, please give. There is a danger that money can have a real hold over us, a hold of fear, particularly actually if we have a lot of it. And the fastest way to break that hold, to break the power of the God of Mammon in our lives, is to give it away. It's the fastest way of breaking that idol. And I'm passionate about everyone in this church getting to play, getting to be involved in any way, wherever you are at in your journey with God. Even if you don't know really if you believe, you can still come and be involved. This is a community of grace and a house of mercy. We need all the people and the pounds and the prayer. And if you work all the hours God sends, from dawn till dusk, and you cannot give half an hour of your week, please consider giving financially. And if you cannot spare a penny, you are in real trouble, please don't give. But consider whether you can offer us an hour of your time in a week somewhere to come and get involved. And perhaps, like me, you're somewhere between the two, and you can do a little bit of both. Please do that. Lastly, and by far the most important, prayer. We've got no excuses on this one. Every single one of us can pray. Please pray. Pray for this church. Pray for this community. Pray for that woman who is homeless and pregnant. Pray for Darren. Pray for me. Pray for one of the many, many ministries you've heard tonight. Turn and pray for each other. Please, let's be a people steeped in prayer. If you don't feel you know how to pray, or your preference is not to pray alone, come to our joint church's prayer meeting tomorrow night. It is a phenomenal oasis of peace in a busy, busy week. Come to our Wednesday morning communion at 8:30. Amazing way to start your day. Join a home group. Just get praying, please. When we reflect on the year that has just gone by, the things that have been by far the most fruitful have been the times when we have really made space to listen to God. When someone has really been moved by the Spirit of God, not when we've come up with a great idea. If it's not for prayer, then we will fall down. It all depends on Him. So finally, I want to come back to my opening statement of self-congratulations. Yes, I have worked hard. But I grew up in a supportive family, and that was a gift from God. When I messed my life up radically, they continued to love me, and that was a gift from God. I had the opportunity to be educated for free. That is an incredible gift from God. I had my health, so when I came to sit my exams, I was not interrupted. That was a huge gift from God. When I screwed up my maths GCSE, my parents could pay for a tutor. That was a huge gift from God. I could go on and on and on. Yes, I work hard, but everything I have comes from Him. Everything. And so now I want to give back to Him. And I want to invite you to join me in that. We're going to hold 2 minutes of silence now and invite the Lord to speak to us. I know many of you received your giving packs a few weeks ago, so hopefully you've had some time to reflect. But we're going to wait on Him for a couple of minutes, and then I'm going to ask Ali to come up and quietly lead some music in the background. And some of the team will bring response forms around, and there'll be a chance just to look at some of the things that are going on. If your response, if the response you feel led to give is a financial one, we have those forms at the back because we didn't want to be handing out financial details in back. So let's hold some silence.